or more pointedly, the loneliness of being afraid to allow myself to be understood. If ever I would stop thinking about music and politics, I would tell you that the personal revolution is far more difficult than the first step.
This is the... In Jakarta, an Indonesian passenger jet overshot the runway and burst into flames, trapping passengers aboard. 21 passengers were killed in the inferno last night. 133 people survived, but the plane was going too fast upon landing. A suicide bomber killed more than 30 people and wounded dozens Wednesday in a cafe northeast of Baghdad. Three American soldiers were also killed when a roadside bomb exploded northwest of the capital. The attacks came a day after two suicide bombers detonated themselves, killing at least 120 pilgrims and wounding another 190. Also in Iraq, coalition forces continue to conduct raids in suspected al-Qaeda strongholds. Today, U.S. soldiers arrested another 24 suspected terrorists. In Afghanistan, a senior Taliban commander has been captured by Afghan National Army forces. According to NATO, Mullah Mahmoud was captured while trying to escape from the area in the Kandahar province. ABC is reporting the CIA has received fresh intelligence on the whereabouts of Osama and is rushing agents to capture him. The European Union urged Iran today to take up and offer its nuclear enrichment in return for suspending sanctions to Tehran. However, the Iranian ambassador to the IAEA has not found, quote, any reason, end quote, to suspend, which it claims as a right under the Nuclear Non-Proliferation Treaty. In Northern Ireland, voters are at the poll to break shot at building a lasting power-sharing administration between Protestants and Catholics. Macedonia, Georgia, and the Ukraine. Ernest Gallo, who along with his brother Julio turned $5,900 and a wine recipe from a public library into the world's largest winemaking empire through hard work and a genius for marketing, died yesterday at his home in Modesto, California. He was 97. And the astronaut charged with trying to kidnap a love rival was fired today, a month after she was arrested in Florida. NASA officials said Lisa Nowak's dismissal did not reflect on the space agency's belief in her guilt or innocence. They said they lacked a system to handle the allegations. You're listening to the Quality News Network. Business and Science next.
Harry's Lounge at the Cypress Inn in downtown Carmel invites you to a great evening of your favorite foods, beverages, and live music Thursday through Saturday, featuring Dick Whittington and friends from 6 to 9:30. Harry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn features an appetizer-sized menu and our famous burger, salad, and fries. Afternoon tea, a great local tradition, is served from 1 to 4 p.m. daily by reservation. Sunday evenings are special as Richard Divnick entertains from 5 to 8 p.m. with classical renditions of pop, jazz, and classical music. Join the fun, food, and music at Terry's Lounge in the Cypress Inn, corner of Lincoln and 7th. In downtown Carmel.
Scientists think a meteorite crashed into a lady's house in Illinois. The grayish metallic object, about the size of a deck of cards, crashed through a bedroom window and onto a computer table around 9:30 Monday morning. Geology experts believe it's the real thing and added, quote, "We're just lucky no one was sitting at the computer when it happened," end quote. In Washington, lawmakers are considering legislation that would limit and or eliminate abusive and confusing practices by credit card companies. Senate panel members believe the practices in question, which are legal, confuse consumers and put them further into debt. Says it'll begin producing an all-electric car by the year 2010. They're going to call it the Volt. Suggesting the weak U.S. housing market may be at the bottom, luxury home builder Toll Brothers is saying that a lower cancellation rate means that their inventory could be sold down within 4 or 5 months. Lower crude and gasoline imports engendered a surprise draw on crude oil inventories and a larger-than-expected gasoline draw. Light sweet crude for April delivery climbed $1.13 to close at $61.82 a barrel, on the New York Mercantile Exchange. U.S. stocks finished a lackluster session lower today as investors consolidated the previous session's gains and still struggled to make sense of the sharp pullback in global markets seen last week. The Dow closed at 15 points down. The NASDAQ was off 10. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Mike.
Now, Head On with Bob Kincaid. Head On is brought to you every night by the West Virginia District Council of Carpenters and Millwrights. Union Carpenters and Millwrights, they're building the American dream. Free speech isn't free if you don't use it. So call Bob now at 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Now, here's Bob Kincaid on the Head On Radio Network.
Well, howdy. All right, all right, all right. We've made it to Wednesday. I'm Bob Kincaid. And, you know, we'll sit and have a little... little ride into the evening hours together this evening. Of course, it is that most special day of the week here at Head On, because well, you know what Wednesday means.
On this every other Wednesday afternoon discussion club, we are going to have more to discuss on this every other Wednesday afternoon than we ever had on any other every other Wednesday afternoon.
Darn tootin', get out the hotcakes. A very, very interesting prayer meeting edition. We've got some fun prayer meeting stuff that I'm going to get to. I've been very, very bad for the last two Wednesdays. I've had a bunch of good prayer meeting stories and didn't get to them, and shame on me. But we're going to get to them. We're going to go right to the source. An interesting little story that I was sent that comes from... CNN. Headline: Evangelical leader says Giuliani's divorce a problem. Dateline Nashville, Tennessee. And of course, this has to do with the head of public policy for the Southern Baptist Convention, Dick Land. That's his name. He says that evangelicals believe that former New York City Mayor Rudy Giuliani showed a lack of character during his divorce from his second wife, television personality Donna Hanover, his second wife. Now, I guess that, so there wasn't, his first marriage ended in an annulment, so I guess there was no lack of character there. And Dick Land went on to say that evangelical voters might tolerate a divorced presidential candidate, but they have deep doubts about GOP hopeful Rudy Giuliani, because Rudy's been married three times. What do you make of that? Land noted that the Republican presidential candidate John McCain has been married twice, but said the Arizona senator has acknowledged his part in the failure of his first marriage. It's a molehill compared to Giuliani's mountain, Dick Land said. When you're a war hero like McCain, you have less to prove on the character front. That's right. John McCain dropped bombs on brown people from 40,000 feet, so that proves he's got character. And maybe you don't, why it is that I have such a problem with the denomination in which I was baptized and of which I'm a recovering member. I'm a recovering Southern Baptist. The article ends, the Associated Press article ends, Southern Baptists have been among the most vocal of conservative Christian groups in support of the Bush administration, but they and other evangelicals are struggling to find a consensus presidential candidate who embraces their stance against gay marriage and abortion. Let's see. They don't like Rudy Giuliani because he's been married a bunch. But, you know, I guess John McCain's taking the lead because he's sucked up to Jerry Falwell. Mitt Romney gives him the heebie-jeebies because, after all, he's a Mormon. You know, say... Bart Cop. Calls him Brigham Romney. I just can't... I look at the guy, and I know he's wearing sacred underwear, you know, the holy DVDs. And by holy, I don't mean they've been to the wash too many times. And I just can't take the man seriously. Sacred secret underwear. Please. So the poor little fundies are having a devil of a time figuring out who it is that they're going to support. Of course, what I find interesting in all of this is that, here, just because I'm a little bit crazy, you know, wild-eyed, leftist, liberal, radical Bob, let's try this on for size. Let's see, you don't like Rudy because he's been married a bunch, and John McCain has less to prove because you know, you still got a problem because, you know, he admitted his part in the failure of his first marriage. And, you know, he dropped bombs on thousands and thousands and thousands of peasants from 40,000 feet, and that makes him a man of character. Okay, let's try this one. How about Barack Obama, Dick Land? Barack Obama. He's been married once, and he's still married to the person he married. How about John Edwards, who, despite the vile crap that Ann Coulter said about him, is a devoted husband and father who has remained married throughout his only marriage? How about Hillary Clinton, Dick Land? Now, talk about staying committed to a marriage and honoring the vows that were taken before Almighty God. How about Hillary Clinton, Dick Land? Oh, no, sorry. They're all Democrats, and the Southern Baptist Convention is a wholly owned subsidiary of the Republican National Committee. So, how are we supposed to take these people seriously? Sitting there talking about, because, you know, articles like this, they're exclusive. It is not even considered in the realm of possibility that someone with real family values, John Edwards, Barack Obama, Hillary Clinton, Dennis Kucinich, they would be even worthy of consideration of the Republican Party, or the Southern Baptist Convention. See, it's so easy to confuse the two. Because, you see, Jesus doesn't say anything in Matthew, Mark, Luke, or John about homosexuals. Of course, the Southern Baptist Convention is all a titter over homosexuality. And he didn't say much of anything about abortion, but they're all a titter about abortion. He did, however, say in no uncertain terms that divorce was wrong. So you would think that the Southern Baptist Convention would reward people who took, apparently, the words of Yeshua, the brown-skinned Palestinian carpenter, seriously. People like Hillary Clinton and Barack Obama and John Edwards. But apparently not. None but Republicans need apply when it comes to talking about the morality of potential future presidents. Listen to these words from Dick Land. Quote, I mean, talking about Giuliani's divorce from Donna Hanover, you know, when he was trying to move the next wife into the Gracie mansion while she was still his mistress. We talked about this a little bit last night. Dick Land said, quote, I mean this is divorce on steroids. To publicly humiliate your wife in that way and your children, that's rough. I think that's going to be an awfully hard sell, even if he weren't pro-choice and pro-gun control. Now Dick Land is going to... The Southern Baptist Convention has a position on gun control. Stop. Does this give you... I mean, does this give you a general idea of the hypocrisy of people like Richard Land? Won't consider a Democrat because they believe that women should control their own bodies and be able to go to the doctor when they want to go to the doctor. But we'll sit there and pick among the least of evils among people who directly violate the teachings of the people they of the person that they follow as God on earth and Savior. Does that tell you that they're morally bankrupt? Does that tell you that they're ethically dead? Does that tell you that they have the moral force of dung? And then to say that John McCain lessened the impact of his divorce because he has character, because he bombed poor people. Boy, vanity, all is vanity, saith the preacher. So, that's where we begin tonight in the Cathedral of Common Sense. I'm Brother Bob. And you are welcome to come on down the aisle and make your confession. Speak your mind. Share your thoughts. And battle back against this right-wing religion industry disgusting hypocrisy. You're listening to the Head On Radio Network, The Horn, America's liberal voice. We'll be back.
Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe in what they're doing and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
Recently on the Guy James Show on the Head On Radio Network.
If you have tuned into this program by mistake right now, and you are a Republican, a right-wing Republican specifically, before this program is over, I do want to warn you, you're going to think that I'm the devil. You're going to think I've got horns and a red cape because I hate the Bush administration and everything they stand for. So be ye warned right away, okay? You're all warned right now. that that's where we're coming from today.
Don't miss Guy James weekdays, 3 to 5 Eastern Time on the Head On Radio Network.
Hi, I'm Rebecca Herbst. I play Elizabeth Weber on General Hospital. I want you to know about a wonderful nonprofit foundation called the Jesse Cause, saving the babies from Group B strep, also known as beta strep. It's named after little Jesse, who needed 3 brain surgeries, all because his mom was never given a simple test. Group beta strep is the leading infectious killer of newborns in the United States, yet most people have never even heard of it. Amazingly, 1/3 of all pregnant women have beta strep, and it's almost 90% preventable with common antibiotics. Tell your friends about beta strep, and if you're pregnant, ask your doctor to test you. Together, we can save the babies and put an end to this devastating yet preventable bacteria. For more information, call toll-free at 877-HALT-GBS. That's 877-HALT-GBS. Or log on to groupbstrep.com. That's groupbstrep.com. Jesse and I thank you.
Take me now, baby, here as I am. Pull me close and try and understand. Desire is hunger, is the fire I breathe. Love is a banquet on which we feed.
Oh, I do love Natalie Merchant. 10,000 Maniacs. And very nicely chosen there, Agnes. Thank you very, very much. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. And, you know, daggummit. Sometimes, you know, I'm not trying to be subtle or anything. I said it out there straightforward. Richard Land only talks, you know, his only possibilities are Republicans. Why is the Southern Baptist Convention tax exempt? If you're going to engage in this conversation, then you better engage both sides, or else you run the risk of getting your tax exempt status yanked, or at least you should. But, you know, just as quick as I mentioned John Edwards or Barack Obama or Hillary Clinton, I get an email. Oh, sure. Hold up Edwards and Clinton, slobbering warmongers, political whores, and liars as examples of good Christianity. Christ, Bob, you're driving me nuts. I'm too subtle. Or as my friend once called, subtle. I'm too subtle. That's the Swiss pronunciation, you know, subtle. I'm too subtle. I didn't say a damn thing about Hillary Clinton's stand on the war, or John Edwards' the stand or lack of stand on the war, or the fact that he, you know, repudiated his vote for the Iraq War resolution, or whether Barack Obama, who's, you know, and I'll take him at his word that he would have opposed the war if he'd been in the Senate or the House or selling hot dogs on a corner somewhere. That had nothing to do with my comments. Damn it, people. The point here is that these freaks at the Southern Baptist Convention are willing to judge the merits of a political candidate solely based on two things. One, is he a Democrat? If Democrat, then no further consideration is necessary. Is he a Republican? If yes, has he been divorced? It doesn't matter whether Rudy Giuliani, nothing else matters. You know, the divorce would be a problem even if he wasn't pro-choice and wasn't pro-gun control. Sometimes I just get amazed. I'm just way too daggum subtle. So, you know, that's just a little frustrating. I apologize. Agnes, to the phones, please. Hello, welcome to Head On.
Bob?
Yeah, hey, Jim.
Well, I think that the person who sent you that email, you may want to give them a shot of xylocaine because you split a nerve.
Well, I'm not trying to be obtuse, Jim.
Oh, well, I know you're not. You've been very direct. And, you know, how many times have I said to you, these people will labor like scholars over the pedigree of their own hypocrisy, but yet they would soar right through the Sermon on the Mount. And as far as that pedigree of theirs is concerned, I do believe somewhere along the line a bitch got over the wall.
Well, it's beginning to look that way, Jim. I don't know. Does this? I mean, see, this is symbolic for me. This is emblematic. This is this tells me everything I need to know about the right wing religion industry.
Well, I'm not exactly up front in your cathedral of common sense tonight. I prefer to sit in the back, as you well know, but I will make a comment when I see people to whom the law is just like ice cream, or the law is simply something that is a mere statutory inconvenience the way it's been treated as a scooter livery thing. And I know we're jumping from one thing to another here, and I don't mean to be desultory.
No, that's okay. We jump very well here.
Okay, but now they're trying to argue in the case that he doesn't need a pardon, but he needs to be expunged.
Expunged?
Mm-hmm.
Can you elaborate on that
a
little bit, please?
Well, on Chris Matthews tonight, there are people who are arguing that he was really not guilty, and that even though he's been found guilty by a jury of his peers, they believe that a pardon wouldn't do the job because, you know, a pardon implies that you're relieved for the punishment that you are found guilty. So the only solution that would satisfy some of them would be for his error in judgment to be expunged.
It's sort of the criminal law equivalent of an annulment.
Well,
you know, it never happened. It didn't
exist. It never happened. It basically is blotted from your record. Yes, an annulment, if you will. In other words, it's like none of it ever happened. But what they don't realize is the president doesn't have the authority to do that. He can pardon, which meant that you were guilty, and relieve you from the punishment, but he cannot relieve you from the guilt.
Theoretically, the only person who could expunge a record would be the judge, wouldn't it?
That has to go through a certain legal process of expungement, right. It's kind of like a pretrial intervention thing that they give to people who are first offenders. And
now, it's worth noting, at least, Jim, Scooter Libby does not at this point in time stand convicted.
I beg your pardon?
Scooter Libby does not at this point in time stand convicted. He will not be convicted until such time as he has his sentencing hearing.
Well,
that's a hard lesson I learned from the death of what's his name, Kenny Boyle. Remember?
Right.
He had been convicted by a jury of his peers, but the sentence had not been finalized at the sentencing hearing, and as a consequence, upon his death, he became a non-convict.
Right. Well, they're going to go for another trial if they can't get some type of pardon from Bush. Now, I wish Bush would go ahead and pardon him. And it would certainly bring down a lot of hostility on all of them. And also, as far as the people besides Libby, I don't understand this thing with Libby. This guy was a wealthy Pennsylvania attorney, I think Pennsylvania. He was making a seven-figure-a-year salary. He comes into the government, and all of a sudden, Cheney wants him to take the fall because Cheney is interested in getting this man to go to Niger to find evidence on yellow cake, which he doesn't find, and it comes back, I guess, in an oral type of report that there is no yellow cake, that Saddam isn't trying to do it. Cheney gets a case to the ass, and then he wants to drop a dime on somebody, and he does so through Armitage. And who's the other critter?
Yeah, you caught me at a disadvantage, Jim. I can't remember right now.
Well, these people are part of the head, just like Cheney and Bush and Libby and Armitage. And, of course, the fish does rot from the head. The whole thing is totally rotten. And, you know, the only thing I can see is for Cheney to go. I mean, the only thing I can see that Bush, if he has any sense, will say, you know, Dick, that leg of yours is getting mighty bad. It's time for you to step down. Just like Nixon told Agnew, except for Nixon told Agnew under different circumstances. He told him he'd kill him if he didn't get out of there. Because, I mean, it was heating up for Nixon, too, pretty much, when Agnew got his chops. But I've never seen such a group of people who just ignore the law, and they just view the law as a statutory inconvenience to suit whatever means they think it should, you know?
Yeah. Yeah, I do. And there will be no end to it until they are completely, utterly, and irrevocably called to account, Jim.
Well, I have always supported that because these people are on the wrong side of the tracks, and they have absolutely decimated this country in more ways than one for their own inconvenience. They fed at the trough too long. I mean, when I saw this DVD the other night on Iraq and the contractors and what they've done over there, I mean, for example, and I'm not trying to take any more of your time, but I'll be reading.
No. Go right ahead, Jim. Please.
But I mean, you know, for example, Halliburton is using to do a sack of laundry for a soldier. It costs $100, and you, as a soldier, could do it for less than $3 at a laundromat. And when the laundry comes back, the soldier says that it's dirtier than when it was sent off, loaded with grease and grime and soot, and their chain of command has forbidden them to use anybody but Halliburton, and that's $100 a pop. And the outsourcing of the stuff in Iraq, for example, like the security over there has been outsourced, and truck drivers are being paid to drive empty trucks up and down the road because they're not paid by the load, they're paid just to make the trip. And there are about five or six of these big companies over there that are making just mega bucks off this thing. And talk about feeding at the trough. These guys have been like pigs squilling at the trough. Not feeding, but swilling. All of the expense of the American taxpayer. And we can't have a decent amount of money so they don't have to privatize Walter Reed, and it's turned into a absolute charnel house practically. And
well,
all
yeah,
that.
Jim, I know you've got some military experience.
Yes, I do.
And I have to ask the question, how did we manage to win the Second World War or participate in any other military engagements with our military in a non-privatized state?
Well,
that's semi-rhetorical, but
I know it. I think we both know that. We privatized what we had to, and we had, I don't know how many million men under arms, and you didn't have functions like intelligence and security under private companies. They were under the direct government, or they were civil service or military personnel. And that's exactly the difference there. But they're trying to take everything and privatize it so they can make their friends rich at the expense of the American taxpayer and do so at six times the cost. I mean, they
no-bid
contracts and all this kinds of crap, and they violate every law that governs a contract officer's representative, because I have worked in that function before in letting out contracts, and these people just don't care. That's why I said to them, the law is not only latex, it's ice cream. Just pure ice cream to melt in the heat of their convenience.
Well, we know now that the part of the problem at Walter Reed had to do with the privatization aspect of it, and that thousands upon thousands of talented individuals left, just quit. They wouldn't work in that privatized circumstance.
Well, they won't, because they're not paid anything. They have no job security, and you know, healthcare professionals are hard to come by, good ones, and nobody's going to work in that place. I had to deal with Walter Reed back during Desert Storm and trying to get health care for military people who had been injured in the first Persian Gulf War, and they were very difficult to deal with and extremely hard to get proper care for wounded people in an effort to make them whole. And it's something we definitely owe our people that we send into harm's way. And but they didn't seem to think so. Now Walter Reed is being phased out, and the function is being transferred to Bethesda, to the Naval Hospital there.
And what a time to be doing that. It seems like we need more capacity and not less. If the stories that we're seeing more and more of are any indication, sitting here looking at a Washington Post story today, Jim, headline, from serving in Iraq to living on the streets, homeless vet numbers expected to grow.
Oh, yeah. Well, I mean, they don't care. These people don't care. These people, once they've used these people up, if they may get some care for, obviously, physical problems, but as far as brain injury or brain shock or whatever is concerned, to them, that doesn't exist because they can't, or they don't want to pay attention to it. And that commander at Walter Reed, living right across the street from that debacle over there, he said that it wasn't part of his job description to make inspections.
It's below my grade.
That's what he said, below his grade. And, you know, any commander who's worth his salt.
Is that the military equivalent of I don't do windows?
I don't know, but any commander who's worth his salt, he will take his XO and let his XO do the everyday stuff. And if he's worth a shit, he will be going in there and seeing how his troops are and getting down with them. That's what a real commander does. He lets his XO do the day-to-day stuff, and he gets his ass in the grass.
Well, it would seem then that we have a paucity of that kind of that kind of officer then.
Well, we certainly
at least
do.
For Walter Reed's concerned.
Well, it certainly do. And anyway, it's the whole thing is just like I say. These people are just making the rules up as they go. And if it doesn't suit them, then they're going to find some way to circumvent it. And that's not the way it's supposed to be. And that's all I have to say. I know you've got other people who you'd like to talk to, so I will give up this line and let them talk, okay?
I appreciate the insight because that is an area that I know that you've dealt with. This is the Walter Reed thing has got to be just shudderingly appalling for you.
Well, it is. It's just absolutely dreadful. I mean, not all your major hospitals are like that. I mean, the Air Force has a very good military treatment facility at Lackland, and much easier to deal with. But some of these Army people, I don't know what to say, and I'm not going to say any more. But anyway, I thank you for your time.
All right, you take care, Jim. This is a horrifying little story out of the Washington Post today, or from Monday. It was a bad week for Aaron Chesley, it says. He talked back to the staff at a Baltimore homeless shelter, got into an argument with a fellow veteran, and missed an appointment for his post-traumatic stress disorder counseling session. "Are you still watching the news?" his counselor asked. Well, maybe that's what had set Chesley off. He'd been showing progress since he came to the program last fall, but television footage from the war could cast him back in Iraq in an instant, back to fingering the trigger of his machine gun, scanning the horizon for insurgents. And Holmes knew it wouldn't take much for Chesley to land back on the streets. In a homeless shelter filled with Vietnam War veterans, Chesley, 26, a former Catonsville High School honors student who joined the West Virginia Army National Guard in 2000 to help pay for college, was the only one in the facility who fought in the country's latest conflict. But across the nation, veterans of recent combat in Iraq and Afghanistan are slowly starting to trickle into shelters, officials say. Apparently, Dear Leader gave an interview to CNN in Espanol. Not that he was speaking Spanish. He wasn't. Well, at the end, he said gracias or something. And he said, we have fabulous doctors and nurses and healers at Walter Reed, and nothing but the best will do. You know, we, you, me, the folks who share their time with this program, this network, we're different from your run-of-the-mill life at Walmart America. Not being a snob, just observing a fact. And so when we see dear leaders sit there and say some smarmy load of crap like that, we recognize it for the smarmy load of crap that it is. We have fabulous heaters. God, he makes it sound like Walter Reed's full of people in grass skirts with healing rattles. Yeah, they're healers. And doctors and nurses and healers. And we recognize it's garbage, but what about the rest of America? Does the rest of America ever watch a soundbite like that, or a video bite, or whatever you want to call it, and ask themselves, wait a minute, the holes didn't just appear in the walls at Walter Reed, at Building 18. The rats didn't just get there. They're not carrying little rat suitcases. These things happen over time, and they are indicia, outright evidence and proof of neglect. Now, you do that, and I do that. But what about the burning question I have is, what about the rest of America? What about the Americans who go to work long hours, who come home, who have to get dinner, who have to sit down, pay the bills, maybe watch a few minutes of television with the spouse or play with the kids or the grandkids for a little bit, please, who get 2 weeks or less a year of time that they don't have to show up for work, and they can actually relax and clear their head and, you know, that kind of thing. What about that America? Does that America realize that this kind of absolute mendacity is the stock in trade of people like George Bush and his operatives? They knew what was going on at Walter Reed. But you see, just like Jim was talking about, we got a private. It takes $100 to do a bag of laundry for a soldier, and the laundry comes back dirtier than when it left. Because we've got to privatize it out to Halliburton, because Dick Cheney has a hand in it. What does America think about that? What does America think? With its great big gas guzzling SUVs and its yellow ribbon magnet on the back of the vehicle, what does it think of reports that say we're going to see more and more and more veterans of the Iraq War living over steam grates? Or is that America just happy the queers can't get married? I don't know. Who was it? I can't remember the author all of a sudden. Travels with Charlie. Maybe it's time to get in the car and get a video camera and a notepad and ask people. And just ask them. Do you know this is going on? What do you think of it? And are you willing to tolerate it? And will you place blame for it where the blame belongs? You know, Vermont's looking like a pretty nice place right now. A dozen or more cities in Vermont have voted, passed resolutions demanding the impeachment of George W. Bush. Bristol, Burke, Calais, Craftsbury, Dummerston, East Montpelier, Greensboro, Guilford, Grafton, Heartland, Jamaica, Jericho, Johnson, Marlborough, Middlebury, Montgomery, Morristown, Newberry, Newfane, Peru, Pete, Plainfield, Putney, Richmond. This is the Johnny Cash song, isn't it? Rochester, Roxbury, St. Johnsbury, Springfield, Stannard, Sunderland, Townsend, Tunbridge, Vershire, I don't know, I'm not a Vermont. Warren, Westminster, Wilmington, and Woodbury, all 36, 36 townships have passed a resolution suggesting to the rest of America that it might be a good idea to get the incompetents out of office and start fixing things soon. The sooner you fix broken things, the sooner you can make things better, right? All right, well, you know how to get in touch with the program. You want to do so? 877-443-2366. 877, the numeral 4. I'm Bob Kincaid. This is Head On. It's about 8 minutes before the hour. I don't know what Agent Fred was thinking there. Maybe he didn't. I don't know. Maybe he didn't like us talking about homeless veterans. Or maybe he knew that. Maybe Agent Fred knew that that I was gonna open this segment with the headline: Vermont votes to impeach Bush Cheney from the Nation magazine. When Vermont Governor Jim Douglas, a Republican with reasonably close ties to President Bush, asked if there was any additional business to be considered at the town meeting he was running in Middlebury, Ellen McKay popped up and proposed the impeachment of Bush and Vice President Dick Cheney, and he was not amused, and suggested that the proposal to impeach couldn't be voted on. Bless her heart, McKay pressed the issue, and it was soon obvious that the crowd at the annual meeting were in her corner and not Republican Governor Douglas's. And Middlebury called for impeachment. 36 town meetings across Vermont, most of which held on Tuesday. The vote in Putney, Vermont, was unanimous. You know, it's... Okay, I don't mean any disrespect here. It's just Vermont. But it's not just Vermont. There are people in all 50 states who are ready to see this administration brought to an end and the rule of law restored in this nation. See, I can say that because, you know, I know there's a segment of this audience that if you say Bill Clinton, it's like saying Satan. You know what? The man didn't need to be impeached over a consensual sex act. And that's just the simple truth. But you know what? He didn't need to be impeached, but he was anyway over the... And this is the disturbing parallel between that event and the current situation. Dare I say, crisis. Bill Clinton did not need to be impeached, and yet the Republican Congress impeached him against the will of the American people. George Bush and Dick Cheney desperately need to be impeached, and yet they are not being impeached, and again, it is against the will of the American people. And that disgusts me for what I hope are obvious reasons. Oh, I could sit here finger by finger and tick off the awfully good reasons to impeach George Bush. And sadly, most of the Congress people you talk to will say, well, you know, we have to govern from the center. And apparently, governing from the center is some sort of code for not telling the emperor that he is stark raving naked. Here's the Middlebury resolution. We, the people, have the power and the responsibility to remove executives who transgress not just the law, but the rule of law. The oath that the president and vice president take binds them to, quote, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution of the United States. The failure to do so forms a sound basis for articles of impeachment. The president and vice president have failed to, quote, preserve, protect, and defend the Constitution in the following ways. One, they have manipulated intelligence and misled the country to justify an immoral, unjust, and unnecessary preemptive war in Iraq. They have directed the government to engage in domestic spying without warrants in direct contravention of U.S. law. Three, they have conspired to commit the torture of prisoners in violation of the Federal Torture Act and the Geneva Convention. Four, they have ordered the indefinite detention without legal counsel, without charges, and without the opportunity to appear before a civil judicial officer to challenge the detention, all in violation of U.S. law and the Bill of Rights. It concludes, when strong evidence exists of the most serious crimes, we must use impeachment or lose the ability of the legislative branch to compel the executive branch to obey the law. George Bush has led our country to a constitutional crisis, and it is our responsibility to remove him from office. Sounds pretty good to me. Now, of course, there is another way of going at it, and that is a book by Elizabeth de la Vega, and that book is called U.S. v. Bush. Saw it in the bookstore the other day. Should have bought it. And that book, U.S. v. Bush, has been optioned by writer-director Robert Boris of Blood Feud and Oxford Blues fame. And filming is set to begin in this summer on U.S. v. Bush. that'll get that life support system for a haircut, Sean Hannity, going a little bit, won't it? So I don't know. Maybe we'll try to get Elizabeth De La Vega on the program to talk about it some. And of course, I did see mentioned today that there will be, or there is talk of bringing Patrick Fitzgerald before Congress to testify about what he discovered in his investigation. So maybe, just maybe, there might be some motion. But my God, these wheels of justice seem to grind exceeding slow. We'll come back to your phone calls, 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on after the top of the hour news from the Quality News Network. You're listening to America's liberal voice. You're listening to The Horn. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Look around. Show me holy places not yet found. Let's disappear and we'll hide underground. And we'll get high and we'll feel safe and sound. It comes around. Right.
This is the Quality News Network. Coalition Force 24 suspected terrorists in Iraq today as troops continued their raids on suspected al-Qaeda strongholds in Baghdad. Insurgents attacked outside the city. A roadside bomb killed three American soldiers north of the capital, and a suicide bomber killed more than 30 in a crowded cafe northeast of Baghdad. Just yesterday, two suicide bombers killed at least 120 pilgrims out and detonating their explosives. In Afghanistan, senior under Mullah Mahmoud has been captured at a checkpoint. According to the Associated Press, he was disguised as a woman, completely covered with a burqa, while trying to escape from the area. CIA has received fresh intelligence that OSIS in Pakistan. In Moscow, many are questioning the death of journalist Ivan Safronov. The writer reportedly fell from an apartment building window. He was investigating Russian arms sales to Iran and Syria. His is the latest in a number of suspicious deaths of journalists since Vladimir Putin became president after heading the KGB. On Capitol Hill, the House voted to expand NATO membership. The countries being considered are Albania, Croatia, Macedonia, Georgia, and the Ukraine. In Washington, several recently fired U.S. attorneys told Congressional Committee Republican lawmakers pressured them to make political decisions on criminal indictments. The attorneys also testified a Justice Department official warned them not to talk to anyone about their dismissals. And attorneys for former vice presidential aide Louis Scooter Libby are working on a request for a new trial. It was just yesterday Libby was convicted of perjury and obstruction in the CIA leak case. NASA has fired the astronaut charged with trying to kidnap a love rival last month. NASA officials say Lisa Nowak's dismissal does not reflect on the space agency's belief in her guilt or innocence. And Vintner Ernest Gallo has died at the age of 97. He took a wine recipe from a public library and, with his brother, turned it into a winemaking empire. You're listening to the Quality News Network. We have science and business news coming up next. Now this.
Hi, I'm Anthony, owner of the Duplication Connection, and I'm here to ask you a question. Has one of your relatives sent you a DVD from another country and you discover that it won't play in your machine? At the Duplication Connection, we can convert any country-coded DVD to play in the U.S. We can also convert your DVDs to play in any country on the planet. Call me at the Duplication Connection at area code 831-373-0493 or visit our website at www.duplicationconnection.com.
Don't dread the Fed. Sure, the Federal Reserve is raising interest rates. Seems like it happens every day around noon. But does that affect your home loan? Not necessarily. Talk to the pros at Gold Coast Financial. They can help you bid your dread of interest rates goodbye. Don't wait another minute. Start living in your dream home while seeing your interest rate nightmares packing. Gold Coast Financial. 649-8757. 649-8757. Gold Coast Financial. 831-649-8757.
China has announced it will launch its first unmanned lunar probe. Chinese scientists say they expect to be able to land a man on the moon within the next 15 years. Los Angeles County supervisors have voted to investigate the viability of vaccinating more than 100,000 food service workers against hepatitis A. That after a series of hepatitis outbreaks traced to cooks in some of L.A.'s most prestigious restaurants. The shots cost $200 each. Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates says the U.S. needs to overhaul its educational system and immigration laws or face losing more jobs to overseas markets. Speaking in front of the Senate committee that oversees labor and education issues today, Gates challenged lawmakers to push for higher educational standards. In Washington, lawmakers are considering legislation that would limit and or eliminate abusive and confusing practices by credit card companies. Senate panel members believe that practices in question, they confuse consumers and put them further in debt. Light sweet crude is trading at $61.83 a barrel. Stocks fell a bit today, but trading was a little less erratic than it has been lately. At the close of Wall Street, the Dow Jones was down 15 points at 12,192. The NASDAQ was down 11 points at 2375. The S&P was down 3. There's more at QualityNewsNetwork.com. I'm Laurel Krissen.
It's your second hour in the Liberal Sandbox, and you're head on with Bob Kincaid.
Okay, so we press on with this prayer meeting edition Wednesday of Head On, and we go straight to the phones and our good friend Bob in North Dakota. Hey, Bob, welcome on.
Oh, hello, Bob. Hey,
how are you?
You know what? You're caught. You're caught just like all Americans are caught, okay? Between a rock and a hard place. You know what a rock and a hard place are? Do you even have any conception of a rock and a hard place?
Help me out.
A rock was what they called a piece of real estate outside of Da Nang, and this hard place was a shanty town below, and it was filled up with Vietnamese and, you know, excommunicated people that got kicked out of their villages. They were living in a shanty town, and we call that shanty town. We call that it was a rock and a hard place, and the hard place was where these people lived, and they called it I'm searching my brain dead mind to come up with the answer to that question. Now, can any Vietnam vet that's ever walked through that part of Vietnam give me that answer? I mean, I know what it is. I'm not going to say it on air, but it's a rock and a hard place. And now it's Iraq or Iraq, or I'm not exactly certain how you pronounce the name of this place across the ocean that we're in. But it's Iraq and a hard place, and the hard place is America. And the people of America have hardened their hearts. They don't care about their veterans. They don't care about their people. They don't care about nobody else except if they can fill their SUV up with their yellow sticker on the back and drive down the road. Bob, this is a sad, sad country, and we have no courage. 'Cause you ain't never you ain't never been where I've been. You ain't never been where those Iraq vets have been. You haven't been to the places them boys have been blowed up in Iraq.
And I don't pretend to say that I have.
I know you don't, but there are those pretenders like George Bush and Dick Cheney that they pretend to be leaders. But Bob, they're not leaders. They are something vile. They are evil spirits, if you want to call them that, because this is the prayer meeting night, and I'm going to talk about the devil. And the devil sits in the White House, and the devil, or the, what was it that Georgie boy said a few years ago? He said, evil has found a willing partner, and he is the partner of evil. George W. Bush is the partner of evil. And his pappy and his grandpappy and the whole damn bunch of them. That's the truth. And if anybody wants to come out to my farm out here in North Dakota in the icy snows and take me on, I'll have a piece of you. You may take this old gyrene down, but you will never, never survive. Maybe some of your buddies will. You can tell them a story about how I took this old gyrene down. But I'm tired. I want to fight. I'm sick and tired, Bob. I'm sick and tired. I'm sick, I'm old, and I'm tired. But I'm tired of listening to American people just sit down and, I mean, lick the crack of these Republicans. I'm sick of these demon or democrats or demos in name only. Oh, you know, that's Democrat in name only that play like they're real Democrats, but they're not. I like Guy James because he comes out and he says, I am a yellow dog Democrat. And by God, he is, and I am too. I'm a yellow dog Democrat, and that's yellow dog, not yellow, yellow.
Yep. Yeller.
That's old Yeller. That's a dog that'll take on a grizzly. And by God, we got a grizzly to take on, Bob. We got to take this grizzly bear of this ugly Republican Party.
I was howling about impeachment a couple of minutes ago, and I think it's fitting and I think it's proper. What do you say to the Democrats, Bob, who say, well, you know, we could start that, but, you know, we couldn't get him impeached by the time he was out of office?
I tell
him, what do you say to that person?
Bob, I just tell him this. You got no courage, and you are not faithful to the oath that you took. You have no courage, okay? The Vietnamese that I fought, I have respect for the Viet Cong. I have respect for them. I have respect for the NVA that came down to die before our guns. I know them because I killed them and I saw them die before my guns. I physically took them on and I respected them, and I had more respect for them back then than I have for this nation right now. I respect my enemy more than I do my friends. I respect them because they had the courage to come and face me. But guess what? These Republicans can't face you. They can't face me. All they do is they whine, they squeal, they make filthy remarks like that whatever
Bolter.
They call her. That Bolter, B-I-T-C-H. I didn't say the word. But that Ann Bolter, you don't know that thing, that filthy, filthy scum that comes before the people of Earth and speaks her filth, and all of them,
Bob, they're all scum, okay?
Okay, I'm sorry. I'm just
No. Don't apologize. But no, the people, you know, we understand that, you know, because we're involved in this process.
Well, we're trying
It's the question I asked a few minutes ago about the people who bust their asses every day and don't have time to think about this stuff and are deliberately kept so busy that they don't have time to object. How do we get through to them? How do we motivate them? How do we just even turn the daggum lights on for them?
You can't, Bob. You have to face them in the supermarket. You have to talk to them in the churches. You got to get into their realm of existence. You have to speak to the human that's behind this brain-addled Fox Network or whatever they call it. It's not John Fox, because he's a good man.
No. We understand what you mean.
It's this filthy, filthy neo-Nazi. And it is neo-Nazi, Bob. It's a skinhead. I mean, good God, what are they going to do? Have another Kristall night, huh? To come break down the doors and bust the windows out of the liberals, out of the people that are truly progressive, to break down their houses.
Give them half a chance, Bob. They'd like to.
Yes, they would. But guess what? There's a whole lot more of us. So let's get our hose out, like that old. I remember something I read years ago about this. If we had known they were coming, we would have met them at the door with our hose and our forks and our shovels, and we would have beaten them back. But they didn't know they were coming. Well, guess what? They're coming.
Yeah, and didn't know how they were coming. Bob, you're right. Thank you very much, and have a great night. All right.
Well, I'm sorry I was ranting again.
No, that's okay. That's okay. But we got to roll, man. Take it easy. And we'll be back after this break. This is the Head On Radio Network. I'm Bob Kincaid.
The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competency and training. UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business anytime and every time. It's their job to provide manpower. They build partnerships based on respect and trust. They provide skilled, responsible millwrights and carpenters to meet the challenge of any project because they believe and what they're doing, and are so very committed to getting each and every job done right. They include a clause in your contract that eliminates work slowdown and jurisdictional disputes, because they believe that, as professionals, they can discuss and solve any problem while keeping your project on target on time. We'd like to take this opportunity to thank the men and women of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights for building the American dream and saving the American dream. Thank you.
As I understand the conflict right now between the president's bill and the one supported by the Democrats, John McCain and Lindsey Graham, is that John McCain and Lindsey Graham and the Democrats say that the bill, the standards we use, should be the standards that are the same as the treaty we signed, the Geneva Convention signed after World War II that every civilized nation follows. And the president is saying, that restricts me too much. That's too humane. I want to be able to do other things. I won't say what they are, but sources tell us that things like waterboarding, you know, drowning people, putting them in 50-degree weather. And the question, I think, is should we hold the United States to the same standards that England holds itself to, that Canada holds itself to, that other civilized nations hold themselves to?
Get the view from inside the Beltway with Mark Levine on the Radio Inside Scoop, right here, 2 to 3 p.m. weekdays on the Head On Radio Network.
Did you receive an email from the IRS saying you're due a tax refund? If so, don't open it. The IRS does not request personal information by email. Hello, I'm Russell George, Treasury Inspector General for Tax Administration. The IRS and I want to warn you about bogus IRS emails and websites that look real but are not. These emails are schemes played by crooks who are out to steal your money and identity. Fall victim to it, and you can spend months, even years, cleaning up the mess they've made of your good name and credit record. Help stop these crooks from ripping people off. If you get a suspicious email, go to IRS.gov and search for identity theft to find out what to do. That's IRS.gov. Or call us at 1-800-366-4484. Again, that's 1-800-366-4484.
Okay, it's working. Good.
That's okay. We all have a few moments delay sometimes.
Yeah.
I've already called back in two nights in a row, but I saw this story today, and I just couldn't resist it.
Okay.
Matt Sanchez.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. I've been sitting here waiting for it, so, yeah.
Matt Sanchez, gay porn star.
Oh, yeah, not just, but the background is what's beautiful.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, this is better than Jimmy Jeff Gannon Guckert.
Well, I was just sitting there going, well, just look at the pattern now. Here you got Jimmy Jeff Gannon Guckert. Now you got this guy. It's like, it's amazing how this whole values group.
But let's do the setup because people may not know this, Luke.
All right. For the last couple of nights, what is it, on O'Reilly's and most of the Fox shows, they had a fellow named Matt Sanchez. Who is has come back from, I think he was in Iraq, and claims that when he went up to, what school was it? Was it Stanford?
Columbia.
Sorry. But claims that, is this the one that's claimed he was spit upon? He was the one that was, the liberals in the school treated him badly? You've got it there in front of you. I don't have the story with me. I'm sorry.
No. I do. He trotted out the old canard about people spitting on returning troops. And he says that he was spat on at Columbia, and of course, you know, he's got the buzz cut, and he's buff, and he's tough, and he's boy, is he rough and tough.
Well, and apparently they've investigated, and no one can find any corroboration of this. You know, apparently he was some big stink at Columbia when he did it, and they looked into it, and nobody could say they could find anything.
Right. It probably didn't happen because the guy's a filthy liar,
mm-hmm.
All right? Because he's going by Matt Sanchez now, but a few years ago, Luke, he was going by...
Well, it had two different ones. You've got them in front of you. I don't want to screw him up.
Yeah, he was going by Rod Majors.
Oh, God.
And Rod Majors and... my eyes...
there was another name, but I can't remember what it was. But it was just sort of like he was going, oh god!
But he was—I mean, he puts Jimmy Jeff Gannon Guckert to shame.
I want you to just sit there going, just like, don't these people ever check out any of the story? You just got.
Now I'm looking at him at the story over at tombacchus.blogspot.com.
Yeah,
and please. Warning, 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 Will Robinson. Warning.
Yeah,
do not go to this site if you don't want to see naked guys doing things that you probably, you know.
Well, I thought it was another sign. I can't think of which one, but it wasn't fully, but it was, you know, looked like he just come out of the water, should we say. You know what I mean?
No. These are the real deal.
Okay.
I scrolled down and went, ah!
Have the story. It's hilarious.
But before you ever get to the pictures of Rod Majors all naked, you know, and there is, you know, you being a Southern man, me being a Southerner, we understand that there's a difference between naked and naked.
Naked
is the act of having no clothes on. Yeah, naked is having no clothes on. Naked is having no clothes on and being up to something. So before you ever get to the naked pictures, you get the picture of Rod with the O'Reilly screen.
Mm-hmm.
Matt with the O'Reilly screen behind him, and then there's a picture of him in his Marines T-shirt, and a picture of him in a suit, and a picture of him in his dress blues, standing next to somebody wearing a red hat that might be George Bush, I don't know. And then a picture of him looking real studly, taken in a park somewhere.
Oh,
and then my two favorite photos, the picture of him sitting next to that life support system for a haircut, Sean Hannity.
Oh, yeah.
And then a picture of him standing next to Ann Coulter as she is grinning like a fox eating poop out of a wire brush. And then, oh, Lord God, Billy Bob, then you get to the photos. Remember how we used to make fun, Luke, of the photographs that were in Playboy?
Oh, yeah.
of the girl that was barely dressed shopping for groceries? Yes, well, you know, the women with their underwear falling off. I see them all the time in the canned fruits and vegetables aisle at the grocery store. Well, you know, you scroll down a little bit, and here's a photo of Rod Majors holding a pitchfork with hay bales behind him, and his pants have just fallen off.
Oh, God.
They just happened to have fallen off. And oh, the best one, though, he's still got his hand on the pitchfork handle, but his pants have fallen off, and he's reclining against a bale of hay, naked as the day he was born, chewing on a hay, chewing on a stalk of hay.
And we should always say that we have nothing against anybody who's gay. That's their right.
No.
But it's just the hypocrisy. You're just sitting there going, this is a place where if he'd came on as Rod, they'd have never let him in, probably in the front door, Fox.
What? How did it? No, wait, stop, time out, back up. I mean, you know, throw the red flag out on the field. We got to have a replay on this, Luke. How'd he get in the Marines? Man, well, this guy's gay.
Part of the story on it was the fact that the thing that one of the bloggers said made him suspicious was the fact this guy's like in his mid to late 30s. You know, and had gone in late, and he said, well, that's, you know, halfway acceptable. I mean, that can happen, no big deal. But they said, you know, said the more you read about this guy's story, the more little flags just keep going up before you even get to that part of it. You know what I mean? So sort of like, something don't sound right here, and you're sitting there going, please tell, like you say, please tell me somewhere there's a picture of him shaking George or Dick's hand. Please! You know, you just want that picture and put it up next to the hay bales.
Oh, hay, you know, you know, I mean, I've seen Greek statues. I'm not freaked out by the by a picture of a naked dude.
We have normal lives for the most part.
This is the moral values crowd.
Well, it's like you were talking earlier, the thing with land down there from the Southern Baptist. It's like I got in a little bit early tonight, so I was sitting here watching. I watched the last little bit of Nutball and a little bit of Mr. Dobbs, and I haven't seen the story, and I'm just curious. You're just wondering where the Richard Land story is. I mean, when the head of the Southern Baptist Convention comes out and essentially says we can't support Rudy, you figure somebody would be waving a flag going, look at this. You know, when the head of one of the largest Baptist groups comes out and says we can't support Rudy.
Yeah, wouldn't you love to ask Dick Land about Rod Majors, Matt Sanchez?
Oh. Oh, I tell you, it would be just so much fun. But you were talking a minute ago, though, about why, you know, the Democrats not being able to do anything. And I was sitting here watching Dobbs while I was waiting on the phone, and he was talking to three people, you know, to newspaper, radio people, and all this stuff, you know, or he does at the end of his show. And they were talking about, well, he was looking at the Democrat and going, well, why haven't the Democrats done something about this? And you could just see Lou Dobbs salivating, going, please let them do it so I can hit them as soon as they do it. You know, the moment they say something, we're going to slam them down for being un-American. And you know that's just what they're waiting on. The minute they try to cut the money or anything like that, that they're going to be running the thing under there. Democrats against the troops. But you know that they're just sitting waiting on that.
Oh sure, and they're castigating Rod Major's Matt Sanchez. Why do they hate the troops? But is everything about this guy now officially in question, Luke? I mean, do we know he was in Iraq?
Well, I'd say there's nothing other than just a couple of pictures where he appears to be in some kind of off-duty uniform, you know what I mean, which, like I say, he could have been taken out in the desert in California just as easily, and we wouldn't know the difference. But who knows on this? But I saw something today, and I've been starting to see some of this stuff. Have you seen anything at all? Anybody really? But I know it's probably a week or so away. Did we see where the stupid guy is going in the next week or so?
Oh, he's going on a little Latin American vacation.
My question is, how many countries can he find where he'll be able to, where they'll let him land?
That would be
dwindling.
Yeah, Guatemala, Honduras, Mexico, Colombia.
It's like I say, that number is shrinking every day, just about.
Well, you remember what happened the last time when he went down to Argentina? The riots broke out?
Well, it's like say, I read some of the stories today where they said, well, they're trying to say, that he's wanting to tell people he's for human rights, and it's down there. It's like, sorry, they've already seen all the stories. You're going to have to do a whole lot to show these people, because they've already seen what Georgia has done. Besides, it's sort of like walk the walk, talk the talk, and walk the walk. They've seen what George says, and they've seen what George does. And it's like say, they've seen that ain't the same thing. Oh, yes, we're in favor of all this. Of course, we're not going to do anything about it, but, you know.
But we're in favor of it.
Oh, God. Oh, on this thing with Walter Reed, I read some of the stuff yesterday, some of the hearings. I think the company we need to keep our eye on is this IAP Worldwide.
Yeah, the privatized company run by the former Halliburton exec that completely screwed up Walter Reed.
Oh, our local right-winger was on today going, well, this shows what happens when you put the government in charge. Socialized medicine doesn't work. I couldn't get out on the air with him. I was going to tell him. I said, "You do realize that for the last 2 years, it has been privatized."
But of course, his little right wing listeners are sitting there, Luke, and they're going, "Yep, that's it. I don't want no socialized medicine."
Oh, I tell you what. But I see it's the bottom of the hour. Let me let you go.
All right.
I'll have a good
Luke,
evening.
Luke, take it easy.
See you. Bye.
Thanks for giving me an opening for us to discuss this one.
Well, like I said, that was just one I saw, and it's sort of like, I can't let this one go.
I'm
just going to watch Oberman tonight, and I'm hoping they do something good on it. I'm wondering if John Stewart will. He's got to.
Oh, you know, they run about 48 hours behind, though. I wouldn't expect to see this on John Stewart probably until Monday.
Well, I know, but I'm just give him a chance to get it good and ready.
Yeah.
You know,
all right, we'll see you, Luke.
They have to black
out
the parts of the pictures. Bye.
My eyes are burning. I found this, of course, over at our buddies, WD40.com, Dookie and Wally and Clyde, those patriots, those great Americans, with a great sense of humor. What headline does Wally come up with for this one? That's right. A Dirty Sanchez at the Conservative Political Action Conference. So, you know, he makes the round at CPAC and rubs shoulders with Ann Coulter, Michelle Malkin. Michelle Malkin put a picture of herself with this guy up at her website. And, you know, this is not about being gay. This is about being a hooker. Fanny Fox was the... No, Wilbur Mills, Fanny Fox. There she is. Left, Matt Sanchez, CPAC honoree, corporal in the Marine Corps Reserve, and a junior at Columbia University. Right, U.S. Air Force Reserve Major Eric Lingland, author of The Troops Need You, America, Six Ways to Help Them Win from Your Living Room. and Michelle Malkin in the middle, smiling again like a fox eaten out of a wire brush. Yeah, because, see, he wasn't just swanning around CPAC, Matt Sanchez wasn't. He was an honoree. Oh, yeah. Let's see. At CPAC's Friday Night Banquet honored, this is what Michelle Malkin wrote, CPAC's Friday Night Banquet honored many of these troops, along with modern civil rights leader Ward Connerly, who gave the best, most eloquent, rousing, passionate, stalwart, and courageous speech of the entire conference, and other conservative leaders. After dinner, journalist Happy Warrior Joel Mobry quipped to me, at left-wing conferences, you leave hating America. At right-wing conferences, you leave loving America. And then she goes off on Ann Coulter. She says, her faggot joke was not just a distraction from all the good that was highlighted and represented at the conference. It was the equivalent of a rhetorical fragging, an intentionally tossed verbal grenade that exploded in her own fellow ideological soldier's tent. And there she stands, next to Rod Majors. Oh, Lord, you can't... So if you go to WD40.com and you read the Dirty Sanchez story, I'm not going to tell you what Dirty Sanchez means if you don't know. Leave that up to your discretion. And you don't want to know. But, yeah, he was a $200 an hour male prostitute who advertised himself as, quote, an excellent top. And there's a link in the final paragraph that'll take you to the blog, Tom Bacchus blog. Warning, if you scroll down, once you get past the Ann Coulter picture, then it gets pretty, yeah, with the hay bales and stuff and the pants falling down in my eyes. Oh, Republican family values. You just gotta love them. Tell you what, we're going to take our break and come back. Your phone calls are always welcome as we move toward the end of the program. 877-443-2366, 877-4, head on is the phone number. Bob@headonradio.com is the email address. Jump right in. The conversation's fine. You're listening to The Horn, America's liberal voice.
The Head On Radio Network is brought to you every night by the Carpenters and Millwrights. The Mid-Atlantic Regional Council of Carpenters is a portion of the United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Joiners of America, or more commonly called the Carpenters Union. The Millwrights are a very specialized craft that perform their work with highly sensitive equipment and perform much of their work on machinery like turbines, laser alignment, and other highly specialized tools. We would like to thank the Carpenters and Millwrights for their support, because freedom of speech is free. And it's brought to you by the Carpenters and Millwrights, working hard every day to provide a brighter future. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Do you believe the environment is issue number one? Does the idea of genetically modified food cause you to lose your appetite? Do you prefer green over greed? Do rising sea levels and vanishing polar ice cause you concern about our planet and what we are doing to it? Would you like news with attitude on the environment, organics, renewable sources of energy? Well, then join me, John Fox, for Foxed Up. Weekdays, 5 p.m. Eastern, 2 p.m. Pacific, 10 p.m. in the UK, and 9 a.m. here in Sydney, where conversation radio becomes conservation radio, and we turn it straight up to 11, right here on the Head On Radio Network.
You can see that in Alberta, diversity is very strong. You see people from different places, from different backgrounds, and we all have learned to live together. That's why Alberta is a great place to live.
We come from different places, and we have to accept each other because our backgrounds are different, our cultures are different, and we have to understand other people.
I think that our community, being as open as it is, just gives people a chance to really enjoy interaction between different cultures and really get to know each other without making any judgments.
Trabajando juntos podemos lograr la gran diferencia en la comunidad. That it means by working together we can make a big difference in our community.
To find out how you can make a difference, visit helpmakeadifference.com. This message is brought to you by the Government of Alberta and Global Television.
Okay, it turns out that Matt Dirty Sanchez also has a blog, and he's got a picture of Ann Coulter as his most recent posting, and it's all good? Wow, who knew a little award and a couple of pictures would get me all this attention? Death threats, hate mail, and plenty of people who want to be my friend, and it's not even 4 p.m. See, he's got a MySpace page, but he's got his thing set to private. I thought he was a corporal. So you can't just, and apparently he gets pretty graphic and raunchy on his MySpace page. But he says, I'm going to be writing a piece and posting it on this site by tomorrow. You'll forgive me for the delay, but between this week's midterms, my full-time job, and working out at the gym, there's just not enough time in the day. Oh, I bet he's got a full... Agnes in Productions. Yeah, he looks very friendly to me. Oh. So this guy, at this point, we don't even know if he's actually been in the military when he made up his story about being spat on. But then he goes, let's see, I know I've always enjoyed hearing what the audience has to say the day after a story ran, so here they go, and factor feedback. Oh, I wish I could run audio from here. That would be fun to hear. And his appearance on the O'Reilly Factor and his appearance on Hannity and Combs and, his missing the big picture opinion piece that was published in the Marine Corps Times on January 1st of this year. He wrote, "The Columbia University Activities Day was the first week of school in 2005, with eager students lingering by a group of tables deciding which activities to sign up for." Damn, boy, you got yourself into Columbia University and you can't manage not to hang a preposition on the end of your sentence? Oh, well, they gave a degree to George Bush at Yale and Harvard, so what am I supposed to expect of the Ivy League anymore? I was talking with friends when a group of student socialists gathered in mass and started to yell, "Get off our campus! The military exploits minorities," they chanted in a frenzy. "It does?" "Hey," I replied, I used my college voice, that sensitive, interested in debate tone that is supposed to be passable at an Ivy League school. Oh, there he goes. He's talking about being passable. "I'm a minority. I joined the military, and I don't think I'm being exploited." No, Matt. No, not by the military. One protester's face flared red like a pale recruit after 2 minutes on the quarter deck. "That's because you're stupid, too stupid to realize you're being used as cannon fodder." I took the high road, leaving the table to report the group's conduct to the university administration. Oh, good. He's a fink. He's a tattler. This was not the first time such a confrontation had happened, but I wanted it to be the last. This jerk initiated the confrontation. He replied to them. They could have sat there and chanted or sung Kumbaya or stuck daisies in rifle barrels or whatever it is that they were doing, and there would have been no confrontation if he just would have kept his damn mouth shut. What disturbed me was the odd disconnect between Columbia University, an elite institution of higher learning, and the Marine Corps, an elite branch of the military. Just that summer, a young sophomore asked, "You're a Marine and you learn how to kill, so what makes you any different than the terrorists who flew the planes into the Twin Towers on 9/11? The group I had offended was not as inquisitive. They just wanted a poster boy. Well, okay, you should know from poster boys, poster boy. Of course, I don't think they could sell your posters in polite society there, Matt. So they printed a flyer of me next to a dead Iraqi kid and a homeless veteran and wrote, "Victim?" next to it. In the morning, they handed the flyers to students as they entered the campus for a new day of learning. I'm not a whiner. I never once raised my hand for sick call. I didn't complain when one calm Sunday afternoon the drill instructors tore apart the barracks right after we'd finished cleaning them. I didn't say a word when during the crucible a careless recruit dropped a cement-filled bucket on my head. You know. Would you have whined if somebody had outed you, Matt? Would you have whined if somebody had outed you like some homophobic members of the military did with some translators? Would you have whined? Would you have complained? Would you have felt like it was unfair? Or would you have just turned around to your mates there and told them just what your prior life had been as Rod Majors? Jesus Christ. These people are simply amazing. This is the internet. Everything goes on YouTube. Everything. Everybody is on MySpace. For God's sakes, I'm on MySpace. It's all out there. Did this guy not... I mean, is what we're witnessing with these freak right wingers, is what we're witnessing just the modern manifestation of the ancient Greek, no, I don't mean Greek like that, of the ancient Greek concept of hubris, you know, a fatal flaw that is so profound and yet so unnoticed by the person who is flawed that it just has to bring them down, and the destruction has to be complete and utter. Is that what this is? Do they not know that when they go out there and they make crap up, I got spit on, that it's going to find them, it's going to follow them? Do they not know? Because you and I, as reasonable people, we would say, surely they must know. Or do they think they'll be forgiven? I mean, this guy's a bottom feeder. I mean, he's a cellar dweller. It's not like he's Bill O'Reilly and everything will get outed about, you know, like it was with Bill, about how he wanted to molest a woman and rub her breasts with fried Middle Eastern delights and get away with it. This guy's not Rush Limbaugh, who's going to be who's a junkie and still gets on the air and talks about the moral imperatives of conservatism for America. This guy is not those people, and he will not be covered, and he will not. But then again, where's Jimmy Jeff Gannon Guckert these days, the male prostitute who had access to the highest levels of the White House? They threw Scooter Libby to the wolves. What was this guy thinking? Is this just a case of, well, you know, there's no such thing as bad publicity? Is that what this is? Or is it more a matter of the right wing thinks that this will all pass by? What? Because the left will be afraid to criticize a gay man? I'm not criticizing him for being gay. I'm criticizing him for being a rotten, stinking, filthy hypocrite. Who knew a little award and a couple of pictures would get me all this attention? Is it now just going to dry up for Matt Sanchez? Or Rod Majors? Or whatever it is he prefers to call himself? I know this seems like sort of the Anna Nicole Smith sensationalism that we more or less despise. But this is indicative of the sickness of the right wing and the overall sickness of conservatives. You want one more little itsy-bitsy example of conservative sickness? There are three honors students at John Jay High School in Cross River, New York. They've been suspended because during school assembly, they did a reading from a very famous play called The Vagina Monologues, and they said the word vagina. This is like in Romper Room when she'd say, everybody raise your hand. Okay, I see you and you and you. Raise your hand if you've seen Life of Brian. The stoning scene. So-and-so Deuteronomy of Gath is being stoned for saying Jehovah. I think Michael Palin plays the stoney, and he says, listen, I'd had a lovely piece of adabit, and I just looked at my wife and said, that adabit was good enough for Jehovah. And they throw another rock at him. And the very authoritarian John Cleese eventually looks at him and says, you're only making it worse for yourself. Michael Palin says, worse? How can it get any worse? I'm getting stoned. Jehovah, 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 Jehovah. Begins dancing from one leg to the next. Well, three 16-year-old girls, honor students, Megan Reback, Alon Stahl, and Hannah Levinson, did a reading during the school assembly that featured, among other things, the football coach quoting Shakespeare. And they read an excerpt from the Vagina Monologues that said, "My short skirt is a liberation flag in the women's army. I declare these streets, any streets, my vagina's country." And for that, they have been suspended, and the discipline has been placed upon their permanent record. Now, they were suspended because they were told specifically that they could do the reading, but they could not say the word vagina. Really? They saw the quote. And they said, okay, you can do this reading, but you can't say my vagina's country. What did they want them to say? My hoo-hoos? Apparently back at home, my children are going to lose their art teacher because some weirdo objected to the children seeing a statue of a Greek nude. You know, the Elgin Marbles, that kind of thing. Venus de Milo, no arms. Winged victory of Samothrace. This is culturally important stuff. So, you know, here, to Megan Reback, Ellen Alon Stahl, and Hannah Levinson, who stood to, and they came to the word, and they reached a predetermined conclusion that they would say the word together. And so they read it, and then they got to the word, and they said vagina together, and now they've been suspended, and they have to serve a one-day in-school suspension. No one in the high school was younger than high school age. The suspension is for insubordination because they were told not to say the word. They weren't told not to do the piece, just not to say the word. Meanwhile, a child, a young lady at a high school in Fort Wayne, Indiana, is being disciplined for writing an editorial in the high school newspaper saying that we shouldn't be mean to people who have sex differently than we. In other words, don't be mean to gay people. In Fort Wayne, I believe, Fort Wayne, Indiana, or somewhere near there. Yeah, the kid is being punished for writing an editorial calling on people to be tolerant. And just as last night we talked about the 12-year-old boy who died for want of dental care, these things, these girls in New York, this hypocrite Matt Sanchez, the young lady in Fort Wayne, Indiana, these are all, every last one of them, symptoms of the disease called conservatism. And you know what? The disease is often terminal. Not to individual human beings, but terminal. Terminal. Nations that would call themselves free. So that's it. I hope you enjoyed the show as much as I enjoyed bringing it to you. Have a great evening. We'll catch you tomorrow. The show, of course, tonight was produced by my lovely, talented, darling wife, Agnes. Engineered by John Fox in Sydney, Australia. Ben Birch at WhiteRoseSociety.org maintains the streams, the archives, and the podcasts of all the programs on the Horn. If you appreciate what happens here, help him make it possible to keep the stream going. Our IT professional is Peter Godbold of Godbold Computer Services in Tallahassee, Florida. We have wonderful moderators in the HeadOnRadioNetwork.com chat room. If you're listening on iTunes and you've never been by the chat room, if you're listening any other way and you've never been by the chat room, come on by. It's a friendly bunch. Thanks to our news ninjas, Susan and Gene. great stuff that they do, keeping the blog going at headonradionetwork.com. Wait, am I not supposed to be... Oh, you know what? We got another hour to go. This is... I am so dippy. I am so utterly and completely dippy. I've got two different clocks with two different time zones on them. We'll be back. It's not a short show. Now I just don't have to do the credit. Lord. Do you want websites like that? I'm Bob Kincaid. Call in. Light them up. We got another hour to talk. We'll be back. This is The Horn.
This is the Quality News Network. New threats from Taliban leaders in Afghanistan warn that the group has 4,000 fighters bracing to battle NATO's largest ever that began 2 days ago. That's in the northern part of that country. That news comes as NATO announced the capture in Afghanistan of senior Taliban commander Mullah Mahmoud. He was arrested at a checkpoint. According to the Associated Press, he was disguised as a woman, completely covered with a burqa while trying to escape from the area. Coalition forces arrested 24 suspected terrorists in Iraq today. As troops continued their raids on suspected al-Qaeda strongholds in Baghdad, however, insurgents attacked outside the city. A roadside bomb killed three American soldiers north of the capital, and a suicide bomber killed more than 30 in a crowded cafe northeast of Baghdad. It was just yesterday two suicide bombers killed at least 120 pilgrims by mingling with the crowd and then detonating their explosives near Karbala. ABC reports the CIA has received fresh intelligence that Osama bin Laden is in Pakistan. In Moscow, many are questioning the death of journalist Ivan Safronov. The writer reportedly fell from an apartment building window. He was investigating Russian arms sales to Iran and Syria. His is the latest in a number of suspicious deaths of journalists since Vladimir Putin became president after heading the KGB. At least 22 people have now died as a result of that fiery plane crash in Indonesia yesterday. 118 on board managed to survive. Passengers say they felt the Boeing 737 shake just before it hit the runway. On Capitol Hill, the House voted to expand NATO membership. The countries being considered: Albania, Croatia, Macedonia, Georgia, and the Ukraine. In Washington, several recently fired U.S. attorneys told congressional committees Republican lawmakers pressured them to make political decisions, indictments. The attorneys also testified a Justice Department official warned them not to talk to anyone about their dismissals. And attorneys for former vice presidential aide Louis Scooter Libby are already working on a request for a new trial. He was just convicted yesterday of perjury and obstruction in a CIA leak case. And NASA has fired the astronaut charged with trying to kidnap a love rival last month. You're listening to Quality News Network, Science and Business News, coming up next.
Heads up, crew. This is Captain Mike from Bombardier's Lounge, World War II Big Band Jazz. I've got a book for all of you crew members interested in World War II in here. Its title is Letters Home, Memoirs of a World War II Troop Carrier Pilot by Frank G. Hathaway. Hathaway's book is dedicated to the air crewmen who lost their lives in the Southwest Pacific, 1942 to 1946, while flying over the ocean and mountains in New Guinea and the Philippines. In his book, Frank talks in his letters home about his experiences flying as a pilot with the 6th Troop Carrier Squadron, the first squadron of troop carrier planes in the Southwest Pacific. This is a book you're really going to enjoy having in your library. It's available at Amazon.com. Get this book. Ask for it by name, Letters Home by Frank G. Hathaway, published by Trafford Publishing. That's an order.
China announced it will launch its first unmanned lunar probe. Chinese scientists say they expect to be able to land a man on the moon within the next 15 years. Swedish researchers say obesity has doubled in their country in the past 25 years. 1 in 10 Swedes is severely overweight, with as many women as men considered obese. Changes in lifestyle and diets are being blamed. And a German company will soon be joining the soft drink wars with an organic fizzy drink. Instead of sugary cola, Bionade is all natural and comes in flavors such as orange, ginger, elderberry, and lychee and herb. Both Coca-Cola and PepsiCo are planning to introduce soft drinks fortified with vitamins and minerals later this year as the public gets more health conscious. Microsoft Chairman Bill Gates says the U.S. needs to overhaul its educational system and immigration laws or face losing more jobs to overseas markets. Speaking in front of a Senate committee that oversees labor and education issues today, Gates challenged lawmakers to push for higher educational standards. And ExxonMobil said today it plans within the next 3 years to develop 20 new projects around the world. Light sweet crude is trading at $61.82 a barrel. It fell a bit today, but trading was a little less bumpy than it has been. The Dow Jones was down 15, NASDAQ down 11, S&P down 3. There's more at Quality.
Tonight's final hour of Head On begins now. 1-877-4-HEAD-ON. That's 1-877-443-2366. Here's Buck.
Apparently too much gin on the cornflakes this morning, because this really is the third hour, and there really is going to be a third hour. I promise, I promise, I promise, I promise. I'm Bob Kincaid. You've heard the phone number a million times, 877-443-2366. If you want to join the conversation, that'll be fine. But for the moment, there's, you know, I don't know. I guess we're in the world of the creepy this evening. Did I just upspeak? I guess we're in the world of the creepy this evening. And I smell a Republican rat. Just as creepy and ratty as Matt Sanchez, Rod Majors. I almost called him Roy Rogers. There's something besides my brain rattling around inside my skull this evening. I don't know. I'm off my feet. I found this over at ABC News. There's apparently a website out there. I wouldn't give it to you if I had the address. But a website out there that apparently the person writing on it says he is a pedophile. And he's had websites dedicated to missing children in the past that have horrified people. And for the past 10, 11, 12 months or so, he has had a website that has photographs of the young daughters and granddaughters of political candidates. And he is making his predictions for the 2008 presidential campaign based upon the cuteness of several presidential candidates' underage daughters and granddaughters. I know. Ugh. And in particular, he decided that he would call the campaign and predict as the winner of the 2008 presidential contest Barack Obama, based on his daughters, and he calls them an angelic duo. And the Obama campaign jumped out, wrote a letter, and demanded that the photographs and the references be removed from the website. And for ABC, I guess, consulted a lawyer by the name of Lawrence G. Walters. And he said individuals can make comments about the candidates and the candidates' children without running afoul of the law until someone crosses the line into actual or criminal activity. In other words, that this website is street legal, and what the guy has done is street legal, unless he makes some sort of a threat or stalks or something along those lines. And apparently, another First Amendment lawyer, an individual named Katz, Jonathan Katz, said that if Obama, and this is a quote, if Obama knows that his lawyer is doing this, you know, doing the cease and desist thing, that's one reason not to vote for him. These are clear free speech issues. Robert Bauer is Obama's counsel, and this past February 26, he sent a cease and desist letter, sometimes known in legal circles as a nasty gram, to this Ashford character who runs the website. And Ashford took down the photos, but he said he had no intention of removing references to Obama and his family from the site. This is what I have decided to make my predictions based upon what lovely first daughter we can look forward to watching grow up in for 4 to 8 years. Ultimately, he said that Senator Clinton has serious trouble because she has an adult daughter. He describes himself as a lover of little girls. Now, the ick factor is, this is pretty high ick quotient. But like I said, I smell a Republican rat. This smells like Republican dirty tricks up and down. I mean, this smells like something in the same league with the so-called Canuck letter with which Edmund Muskie was smeared in 1972. A way of getting under Barack Obama's skin. Because, you see, I mean, after all, this is the Republican Party. This is the party that has, you know, Bob Corker in the Senate now, who used jungle drums in ads against Harold Ford Jr. And don't think for an instant that they wouldn't do something like this to try to embarrass Barack Obama into some sort of rash response. You know, if the guy just sat there and took it, I understand being cool and grace under fire and everything, but no, attacking the kids, or not attacking even, that kind of commentary, I love little, but hoping that there will be some level of political fallout from it that would damage Barack Obama. Yeah, this has Republican National Committee written all over it. And, of course, the guy's name is Lindsey Ashford. And they got comments from him while he was, quote-unquote, vacationing in Costa Rica. He said, to be perfectly honest, I'm a little surprised by all this. That was 10 months ago, and suddenly I got this cease and desist letter from Obama's lawyers. It's odd that he's the only one making a fuss about it, perhaps because he's now running for president and doesn't want anything to make him tumble along the way. And another thing that sort of set the light, set the sirens off. What does Rush Limbaugh say when he gets caught telling a caller to call him back when he takes the bone out of his nose? It's a joke. How is Ann Coulter describing her vile slur of John Edwards? It was a joke. Quote, it was an attempt at political satire. I thought it was such rubbish for them to be making such substantive predictions about the election that I thought I would take a completely frivolous method. It was a good-natured poke in the eye. I didn't write anything more than that they're pretty. I didn't write that I want to take their knickers off. That's not even a hint. There's not even a hint that I wanted to stalk them or anything like that. It was an attempt at political satire. It was a joke. It was just for fun. Tell me if that's not just a little bit coincidental. Do you think? It is gonna get nasty, 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 nasty between now and November 2008. And of course the various camps and campaigns will throw darts back and forth at each other. Unfortunately, we, the American people, are caught in the middle of it. Does this not remind you a little bit, just a tiny, tiny bit of, what was it, 1988, when Bernard Shaw asked Michael Dukakis how he would respond if someone raped his wife? You know, these kind of questions are never given to Republican candidates. This stuff only happens to Democrats. And forgive me if I'm a little bit suspicious. Okay, call it full-blown paranoia. But, you know, it would be fun if I had the website to get some of the Sharpies that listen to this program to trace back the domain name and the address and follow until it wound up at some Republican public relations firm. Because this stinks to high heaven, just like Matt Sanchez stunk. What do you think? Let me know. 877-443-2366, 877, the numeral 4, head on. We'll go to the phones right after we come back from this break. You're listening to The Horn, America's liberal voice, and I'm Bob Kincaid. Could you whisper in my ear the things you want to feel? I'll give you anything to feel it coming. Do you wake up on your own? I wonder where you are. With all your faults, I wanna wake up where you are. I won't say anything at all, so I don't inspire.
There's one place on the web you can go that's so topical you can apply it liberally. WD40.com. WDYAD40.com. Claude, Wally, and Dookie are there. They're working hard every day to give you updates in news, politics, and a great sense of humor. So stop on by and see the boys at WD40.com, a place where you can raise your voice and be heard. WD40.com. Your one
one-stop shop for all things progressive. The United Brotherhood of Carpenters and Millwrights meet your most complex needs by providing productivity, competitiveness, reliability, accuracy, safety, leadership, and professionalism. Millwrights from the United Brotherhood of Carpenters are problem solvers. They accept any challenge and approach every project with the highest of competence and training. The UBC has thousands of professionals who can be at your service, giving you the best in business, anytime and every time. The Head On Radio Network is proud to be sponsored by these wonderful men and women who are building the American dream every day. Thank you from the Head On Radio Network.
Obviously need to address the issue of the Saddam Hussein execution. Have seen the video that was taken on a cell phone, or have read about the circumstances surrounding the execution. It's pretty evident that the absolutely worst thing that could have happened with the carrying out of the sentence after the long trial of Saddam Hussein happened. And if we had sat down and made a list and said, all right, here's a list of six or seven different things that could happen, what would be the very, very worst thing that could happen, not only for us, for the United States, but for the world and for the Iraqis themselves? And it seems to me that if not first, then definitely second would have been what indeed did happen.
The Dr. Bill O'Brien Show, Tuesday to Thursday, noon to 2 Eastern, here on the Head On Radio Network.
Native American culture has helped shape many things, from the structure of the U.S. government to the foods we eat at the dinner table. But where Indians lack presence are newsrooms. I'm Brian Bull of the Nez Perce Tribe of Idaho and a member of the Native American Journalists Association. Please go to naja.com and learn how you can join. We need people familiar with Native culture to tell our stories and set the record straight against stereotypes and misperceptions. NAJA, raising the next generation of storytellers.
Okay, this is Head On, and for those of you who may not know or tuned in, I'm still away from the home studio, so that makes things technically a little bit of a challenge for me, who is a very simple creature. What does Winnie the Pooh say? A bear of very small, a very little mind. Yeah, that's kind of me with the technology. Let's go to the phones, though. We know how those work. David joins us from Maine. Hey, David, welcome to the program.
Good evening once again, Bob. You know,
how are you?
I just want to say something to people about if they want to figure out some things regarding the net and something like that to figure out to track back some of these pranksters, some of those dirty tricks. One good trick to do is to go to whois.com and godaddy.com. This is where you find out the domains and the registers, and you can pretty much trace where a lot of these people are registering domains and get some addresses, and sometimes names come up, sometimes companies come up, and it's how a lot of people get caught on the smoking gun and websites like that.
Okay, unfortunately, the story didn't give the website, so.
Yeah, well, I'm sure it can be found easily.
Oh yeah, I mean, yeah, use the Google, like your leader says.
Well, tonight I have two stories that are under the radar, and the first one is concerning Nova M, and I don't know if you've heard the new radio host, but his name is John Loftus.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, Bob, the minute I heard him on Coast to Coast, I knew he was kind of like a I don't know how to put this in a nice way. A snake oil salesman.
As nice as you possibly can.
A snake oil salesman, kind of, but a nice guy about it. Anyways, I was listening on the radio, and he has a show now on Nova M. It's for an hour. And he was talking about the weapons of mass destruction. And he was like, yep, I know for a fact they're in Syria. And I just had to get up, Bob, and like look at the radio and go, Nova M. hired this guy, and he thinks they're in Syria. And then the reason, no, Bob, it gets even funnier. The reason he says it is because, well, I have intelligent people, I have intelligent sources that I can't reveal, classified information, but we know it's in Syria.
What weapons of mass destruction, David?
I know, Bob, but it gets worse. Then he starts talking about Joe Wilson, and he says, you know, Joe Wilson got that whole Niger document thing wrong. I know for a fact. Again, he goes back to this. I got sources that tell me, and I tell Joe this all the time.
What?
Yeah, he said that the Niger documents were real. And I just sat there and I went, okay, so this host now, this other guy is going to go jump in, right? And he's going to say something, right? And he's going to say, no, I don't think that's legit what you're saying. And he didn't. And they just sat there, and I just sat there and I thought, he knows Joe Wilson, and because he has intelligence, then someone called him on it, and he says, how do you know your sources are accurate? He goes, well, I've been burned a few times, but after a while, you kind of know.
But again, are we talking about Saddam's weapons of mass destruction that Saddam didn't have that we know definitively he didn't have in Syria?
Yeah.
I mean, wow.
See, this guy's on Nova M, and see, this is my problem with him. I remember when he was on Coast to Coast, and he pulled the same kind of snow job. He said, what about UFOs? And Art Bell was just asking him, and he was like, well, I know for a fact, because I'm inside sources, that those UFOs are from Russia. And I was like, what the? How can people do this when they just say, I have inside sources, and they don't pull any documents, they don't know anything? I mean, I know he has credentials, Bob. He has a lot of credentials in Washington.
Well, I'm familiar with him. He's a former federal prosecutor.
Right, and I'm, okay, so then I'm thinking, then I start connecting the dots, Bob, and I'm like, okay, did you know that he's the president of a Holocaust museum in Florida? You go to his website, he has links to different things about how radical terrorism in Islam and all of this, and I'm thinking, there's an agenda behind this. There's an obvious agenda. They say this all the time, and he's obviously biased in some direction. So maybe he went that way, and he wanted to think that Syria had weapons of mass destruction because, you know, he thinks that Israel is the infallible, the benevolent,
or that they want, or that Syria wants to use them on Israel.
Right. I don't know, Bob, but it just struck me as odd. I mean, if you could find out something. Maybe.
Well, is that what the show's about? It's, you know, like all Israel all the time, all
no,
terrorism all the time?
No, it's not about Israel all the time. It's about intelligence issues. But when I hear something like, I talked to Joe Wilson, and, you know, those, I hate to tell you, but those Nigeria claims were real. And I mean, it's almost like counterproductive. I mean,
I don't remember where I saw them, but I saw, you know, PDF scan-ins of the Niger documents.
I know, but
they were so obviously phony that they were signed everything except, you know, Epstein's mom.
But see, this is you can't argue with a guy like this because he says he has inside sources and they're classified. I can't get into it. Bob, my radar sense is going off, and I'm like, this guy's on Nova M. He's putting out stories like this. I'm not gonna discredit him or anything, but I'm gonna say it sounds to me like this information. He's the president of the Holocaust Museum. He's got Israel propaganda on his site. He has things where, like, he's obviously against Islam to a degree on his site. You have links that you can go to his site, Bob, and they're like, he has this flash image from this Israeli couple, and they're talking about, did you know this about Islam? Did you know this? Did you know that? I'm thinking, this is on Nova M?
Oh, dear.
I just wanted to bring that up to people. I mean, I was half asleep, Bob, when I heard him say that the weapons of mass destruction were moved over to Syria. And then when someone brought it up, they said, well, how do you know? It goes, classified information. I can't get it.
Well, where are they still there?
Yes.
I mean, okay, see, this is problematic to me because I remember, you know, we were rushing headlong into the war.
Right.
David, I did some reading, and there were a lot of scientists out there saying, look, chemical weapons, especially binary chemical weapons, have a very limited shelf life. It's, you know, like a bottle of Budweiser with the born-on date. And, you know, there's a certain period after which they're useless.
And they said,
assuming a manufactured date of X, Y, and Z,
right,
anything that Saddam had would be useless.
But you see, Bob, if you or I try to debate this guy, he's going to throw those classified clearances in our face and say, I got classified documents, classified sources, I can't get into it.
Mm.
And that other guy on the program, he just, like, laughs about it and says, ha, ha, ha. And then he's like, yeah. He goes, yep, John. And then he kind of, like, cheers him on. John Loftus knows his stuff. Right there, John Loftus.
Well, how do we know?
I know, that's what I'm saying. How do I know? And I go to
see, and that's the, I mean, I'm part of the reality-based community,
right,
here.
Right, exactly.
And I don't believe everything I read and everything I hear.
And
you know,
and the funny thing is, he said, I've been wrong a few times, but he goes, but I do know, he says, I do have a good sense of, and I do have a lot of intelligent contacts in Washington. And he actually said, I talk to Joe about this all the time. And he's like, I have to point it out to him that he's dead wrong on this one. He's talking about Joe Wilson. He talks to Joe Wilson.
That's amazing.
I know, but you know the most amazing thing about it is the conflict of interest on his website. He's the president. I want to bring this up again. I'm not anti-Semite or anything, but when you bring up radical Islam and the problem and the threat we have it, and you're the president of the Holocaust Museum in Florida, I see a conflicting interest right there in front of my eyes. And like I said, I'm not anti-Semitic. I'm just saying every time you bring up Islam, I'm going to think of you as the president of the Holocaust Museum in Florida.
Well, but are they necessarily mutually exclusive, David?
What do you mean?
Well, are you saying that you... Well,
I don't know how to say this without tripping and making people think that I think the conspiracy and the Jews there and all that stuff. All I'm saying is this. I'm saying that when guys...
Yeah, because see, I don't believe that Jewish bankers run the world.
Yeah, I don't believe that either. But what I'm saying is, how can someone, every time you bring up Islam on a program, he's going to divert to that and say, well, this is the radical aspect of it. Every time you bring up... See, this is my problem. Every time we discuss Islam on the radio with a guy like this, he's going to bring up radical Islam, and this is tied to this, and he's going to bring up the weapons in Syria, and we had to go there, and this and that and this, and we're going to have to do this for Israel and all of that, because again, he's the president of the Holocaust Museum in Florida.
Well, see, I can at least for myself, I can sort of there's a difference between being one of these people who believes that Israel can do no wrong and being someone who objects and remembers and tries to learn by the lessons of the Holocaust. Do you
right.
see what I'm saying?
I know, but I'm just thinking that when you side with Israel completely...
Well, how long has he been on?
How long has he been on? I think this is his first week.
Okay, that being the case, have you gotten to the point where you can say unequivocally, David, that he, you know, just simply will not brook criticism of Israel?
No, that's not what I'm saying. I just don't trust him when he says I have classified sources and that's all I can say. I mean, there's nowhere to go.
Yeah, I'm not arguing with you. I'm trying to get this. I'm trying to set the parameters of what we're trying to examine here.
Yeah, I know. It's a tricky, you know what? It's like it's the walking the tightrope one. It's just that, dude, as soon as I was skeptical on him, as soon as he said the weapons were in Syria, How does he know? Has he been in Syria?
Right, or maybe Curveball told him.
Right, and then I think about all his contacts, and I'm like, is this guy...
that's disturbing to hear someone, because that's the last thing in the world we need right now, is for someone to be out there saying that George Bush was right about the yellow cake from Niger.
I know
it was bogus,
and that's what he's basically saying on Nova M Radio. And I'm thinking, how can anyone debate this guy? Again, we go back in circles, Bob. How can anyone debate this guy? If he throws your clearance, he throws the classified sources and the intelligence community, contacts he has, and he says, "Well, I can't say anymore; it's classified."
Well,
it just doesn't make any sense.
That's the kind of stuff that you get from the right wing I've always found so disturbing. Well, you know, if I told you, I'd have to kill you.
He must have been a friend of Sheldon's, I guess.
Well, I'm going to have to listen. Well, I guess I'll have to listen to the archives because it runs during my time.
I
right?
mean, I think it was from yesterday, I believe it was from yesterday or something. It's only an hour show, so if it wasn't from yesterday, it was either from Monday.
Okay. Well, David, thank you very much. I appreciate it.
No problem. Tomorrow I'll have another interesting subject that's sure to make your blood boil, Bob.
Oh, no.
Yeah.
All right. Well.
All right. Later.
I'll set my blood for boil for tomorrow.
Okay. Bye.
All right. Later, David. Bye now. Okay. Now that I'm back in the right time zone and everything. Now we go downhill to the end of the program, or uphill, depending on how you want to look at things, or maybe we're just driving on flat land. This is the Head On Radio Network, America's liberal voice. I'm Bob Kincaid.
Listening to WIN, Workers Independent News. I'm Doug Cunningham. AFL-CIO President John Sweeney says the Labor Federation will involve union members and their families in a 6-month program to choose a presidential candidate to support. Sweeney says Labor will finish what we started. AFSCME's Gerald McEntee says this bottom-up endorsement process for the 2008 election will mobilize the grassroots of the labor movement as never before.
Our members are more than just voters. They're activists. They're the roots and grassroots, so they're the drivers in this process.
The AFL-CIO will organize a series of candidate forums, worker-to-worker discussions, and online idea exchanges to give working people more opportunities to engage the candidates for president on the issues.
What we're going to do is look at every candidate's record, their position on the issue, the viability of their campaign. We want to win. And their success in motivating and inspiring our members throughout this process.
The AFL-CIO says it expects to have an even greater impact on the 2008 elections than it did in the congressional elections, where labor was key in taking control of the Congress from Republicans. Waste workers in Ohio have won a major new contract. Jesse Russell has more.
Workers for Allied Waste in Ohio and across the Midwest scored an important victory on March 4th as they overwhelmingly accepted a 3-year contract that protects worker health care and workers' rights during disciplinary proceedings. Represented by the Teamsters, the new 3-year contract secured a wage increase of 3% each year. Allied Waste had sought to force workers to pay a portion of health care costs, and they also wanted to remove language from the contract that could have allowed management to alter attendance policies on a whim. The contract also requires that a shop steward be present during all disciplinary proceedings.
A majority of Verizon workers in New England have voted for union representation, and political leaders are pressuring the company to give the union recognition. The workers in Massachusetts, New York, and Connecticut are seeking representation by the Communications Workers of America and the International Brotherhood of Electrical Workers. Senator John Kerry, Representatives Stephen Lynch and John Tierney, and Lieutenant Governor Tim Murray have all verified the union authorization forms.
Here is today's economic report. Wants to work for Qwest Communications? Then you may want to look at moving to India. Last month, the tech company laid off 10% of its U.S. workforce, and during 2006, the company laid off 1,300 employees. The main reason is the pay scale. In the U.S., a tech worker will earn on average $37 per hour, while in India, the same job would pay only $17 per hour.
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day. To help keep labor's voice on the air, go to laborradio.org.
You've been listening.
Welcome back, and we roll on at about 21 minutes before the hour, and we go to the phone. Susan joins us from Columbia City, Oregon. Hey, Susan.
Hey there.
How are you?
Oh, hanging in.
Good.
The reason I called is Gene put a link in chat that floored me, so I thought I'd call about it.
Would you be referring to the creepy criminal they want to make the U.S. attorney for the Eastern District of Arkansas?
Yeah. Who's the criminal?
Yeah.
I'm going.
Why are we not?
Wait a minute here.
There's every indication that this U.S. attorney purge scandal has legs, because this isn't something amorphous. There are very verifiable individuals, New Mexico, Washington State, Arkansas, who have been forced out by the Bush administration because apparently they weren't towing the administration mark.
Or they had the gall to investigate a Republican.
Yeah. Or they didn't persecute a Democrat, even though the prosecutor, the federal prosecutor in Washington, his name is McKay. This is a story from the Seattle Post-Intelligencer. His name, John McKay. And he was ordered to look into the contested gubernatorial or congressional race. And he refused, and he was fired. And he was pressured by Washington Congressman Doc Hastings. Now, we already know that a federal prosecutor in New Mexico was pressured by Senator Pete Domenici and Congresswoman Heather Long. Heather something, I remember. And now, according to Greg Palast, what you're talking about, Susan, we're finding out via the UK news program Newsnight that an assistant to Karl Rove named Timothy Griffin was the designated appointee for the Eastern District of Arkansas when that U.S. attorney was sacked.
Yeah, and what gets me is he's not only a criminal, he's a stupid criminal.
Well, because so many of them are.
Stupid enough to misaddress those emails and send them off to the wrong person.
And this had to do with a scheme that he was running for Karl Rove to wipe out the voting rights of 70,000 citizens before the 2004 election.
Yeah, some of which were busily serving over in Iraq.
Right.
Yeah.
Homeless men and women, African American soldiers, yeah. And as Greg Callis reports, it is in fact a felony to do that sort of thing under the 1965 Voting Rights Act.
Yeah, we really need to impeach these people.
Yeah, the thing, well, for me, and again, I keep coming back to this question again and again and again, Susan. What is the break point for the American people?
I don't know. I hit it a long time ago. My husband did, too. He's so mad. Practically every other word is the F-bomb. That's why I won't let him on the radio. he served in two wars. He had a captain in Korea that was glory hound and was busily trying to get his outfit killed, and he offered to cut him in half with a machine gun.
Wow.
Yeah. Scared the guy half to death. He didn't do it, but he convinced him he was. But you can imagine what my husband is feeling like when he hears what's going on with these veterans.
Well, you know, that's yeah, and again, and I don't come to any conclusions of my own, and I don't get any from anybody listening to this program, because I think we all just sort of sit around in horror when we realize the conclusion to that question: how much will the American people take? We will take almost anything. We have taken lying about a war. Last night we talked about the fact that we have a prison, a family detention center now, a concentration camp for families that are politically undesirable.
Yeah, I wound up talking to the Prime Minister's office in Canada's Prime Minister's office this morning.
Well, bless your heart.
I wanted to know why he's letting a Canadian citizen rot in the United States, and why I have to be calling him.
Right. And did you get any kind of answers?
We'll pass this along.
Oh, good. Pass it along, and the little boy sleeps next to the bathroom with his back against the wall.
Yeah.
Charming. But you know, we tolerate that. And you know, we get this because of this cowardly administration that's afraid of people that don't sound or look or cook like them.
Well, I don't think it's a matter of tolerate, because I think more and more people are turning to the idea of, gee, what were the people of Vermont did. That just sounds really nice. Let's do it.
Well, there is an article out in the Esquire magazine that was released today that is an interview with Nebraska Senator Chuck Hagel, and he says that if this these sorts of things keep up, you're going to hear more and more people talking about impeachment. Well, God, I hope so, Susan. I so desperately hope so.
I not only want him impeached, I want him handed over to the war crime tribunal in The Hague and convicted, both him and Cheney, because that way pardon can't touch them.
Truth in that. Now, realistically, is that going to happen, Susan?
No. But it warms the cockles of my heart. It just really does.
You know, there was an editorial by the New York Times today, and it was just called A Libby Verdict. And the New York Times editorialist wrote, "It was another reminder of how precious the American judicial system is, at a time when it is under serious attack from the same administration Mr. Libby served. That administration is systematically denying the right of counsel, the right to evidence, and even the right to be tried to scores of prisoners who may have committed no crimes at all. And then it goes on down and it talks about how they dummied up the war. This is the New York Times for whom Judith Miller worked, Susan.
Mm-hmm.
They helped the war happen.
Yeah.
And they still, you know, we call on George Bush to admit a mistake once in a while, and he doesn't. I'm still waiting for the full mea culpa to come from the New York Times.
And the rest of the media.
They note, it was still a breath of fresh air to see someone in this administration which specializes in secrecy, prevarication, and evading blame finally called to account.
Yeah, well, when the AP and the New York Times and all of these other right-wingers, and don't tell me it's the liberal press because you and I both know better.
Exactly.
When they come out and say, we were wrong. When they come out and say that, then I think we'll make some progress. But until then, we're in deep, deep trouble. Until then, the only people who are going to be doing anything are private citizens like you and me and the people of Vermont.
Well, I tell you what, if I was a Vermonter, right now I would be very proud to be a Vermonter.
Oh, I'm so proud of them. I really am.
And, you know, and of course, you know, up there in New England, they've still got the town meetings and stuff where they, you know, real live, honest to God, on the ground, participatory democracy.
Now, what do they call themselves? The Green Mountain Boys. They ought to be really, really proud of themselves.
Yeah. It would be nice to see those kinds of town meetings all over the country.
Because they done good.
They done extremely good.
And the rest of the country should follow suit. Anyway, I'm going to let you go.
All right. Thanks, Susan.
You have a real nice night.
I'm going to try to. I'm just glad I finally know what time it really is. Lord,
you'll
I'm
notice
dipping.
I did not say anything about it.
No,
at
no,
least
no,
not vocally.
That was very nice of you, but I could hear you grinning. Take care,
nice
Susan. Bye. And you know, we still have not given significant time, and it is time that is well deserved, to the U.S. Attorney's firing scandal. And apparently there will be investigations on Capitol Hill. But this is incredibly sleazy stuff. John McKay received a call from Congressman Doc Hastings, who wanted to know about a federal investigation into the gubernatorial election. You remember that. McKay said, I knew immediately what he was calling about when I took the call, and my antenna went up. He said if he had not acted, he was certain Cassidy would have entered into dangerous territory. Cassidy is the chief of staff to Doc Hastings. And, of course, McKay is gone. Canned, fired, done for. The same thing with, the U.S. attorney in the Eastern District of Arkansas, as was pointed out by Greg Palast in Newsnight. There's no other word for what this is than a purge, and it is a politically motivated purge. And this sleazy, sleazy individual who did the dirty deed for the Bush administration that's been appointed that hasn't even been mentioned on Capitol Hill yet. So, you know, bear in mind, this is one of those tip of the iceberg things. We're going to come to the end of the Bush administration convinced that where once Ronald Reagan's administration held the record for sleaze and graft and corruption, these guys are going to leave them in the dust. Timothy Griffin, remember that name? One of Karl Rove's little minions is George Bush's pick for U.S. Attorney for the Eastern District of Arkansas. Now, you heard Susan mention it. He was research director for the Republican National Committee. And he screwed up and sent a bunch of emails directly to BBC Newsnight. And what it did, what these emails were about, were scrubbing voters from lists. American soldiers who happened to have who happened to be African Americans. Scrubbed. Homeless men and women, scrubbed. And he screwed up, and instead of sending it to the email address georgewbush.com, he sent them to georgewbush.org, and it turned out to be a prank site. And he turned them on over to BBC Newsnight. What it turns out is that the RNC sent first-class letters to new voters in minority precinct marked "Do Not Forward." Several sheets, Greg Palast reports, contain nothing but soldiers. Other sheets, homeless shelters. Targets included Jacksonville Naval Air Station in Florida, the State Street Rescue Mission in Jacksonville, Edward Waters College, a school for African Americans. And if the voters were not currently at their home voting address, they were tagged as suspect and their registration was wiped out, or their ballot was challenged and not counted. And this guy is going to be the United States District Attorney for the Eastern District of Arkansas. And this guy, it may be argued, committed a felonious violation of the 1965 Voting Rights Act. Amazing. More amazing is that most of the American people will never, never, ever hear about it. Now, we'll probably get updates on the status of Anna Nicole Smith's estate. But we will not hear about this. Because just as the investment fund manager that manages the Tribune Company and the LA Times said, they've made a determination that people don't want to know about that. God Almighty, we're in trouble. And we're at the end of the program. And I've already done the credits at the end of the second hour, so if you've forgotten them, go listen to them there. The only thing I didn't say then, when I was screwing up and being in the wrong time zone, is that as always, 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 RMR, it's all for you. We'll be right back.
listening to The Horn, the head-on radio network.
You're listening to the Venture 3 Radio Network.
Gore's Inconvenient Truth wins documentary Oscar. Gore's Oscar fuels call for his late run in the presidential race. Cheney asks Musharraf to fight Al-Qaeda. Canada strikes down anti-terror law. Former UN envoy supports Iraq pullout. White House warns against Iraq pullout. California split, a shakeup in America's structure. Nation of Islam at a crossroad as leader exits. Mexican anger over U.S. trespass. Clinton sees role for husband. Senator tells San Francisco crowd the former president could be a diplomat. Clinton fights to keep impeachment taboo talk. Is Hillary afraid of being embarrassed by Bill? GOP is abandoning Bush. Well, not quite. I found the coffin of Jesus, says film producer. Libby jurors questioned about exposure. U.S. generals will quit if Bush orders Iran attack. This came into us, a strange story. U.S. military attempt arrest of Vice President Cheney. Three reported dead? We're checking on that. Duct tape, tranquilizers, part of NASA's plan for mentally unstable astronauts in space. Me, you can just use scotch. More of these stories up ahead on the Jeff Allen Wolf Show, up next.